Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Once again, we're so glad to be with you, and we thank the Lord that Jesus is alive and well, and he is operating today in the world, and he is with us, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he has given us his word, and he says in the Bible, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And our program is to restore, with God's help, faith in the word of God. It says, in thy word do I trust, not in a preacher necessarily, or a school or college or so-called scholars or something, but we're to put our faith in God's word. In thy word do I trust. Jesus gave his words, and he said he would promote them. He would he promised to keep his words. And so that's what this program is all about, and we're so glad that you're listening. I ask you to pray for us, too. Jesus loves us so much. He said, Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so we want you to know also that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was punished in our place, paid for all of our sins. And the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And every Christian will meet God without any record that he ever sinned. And this is taught in so many places. It says, he will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you know, the Lord also said that he would preserve his words. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart. The Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's something we have. And then another place he said he prayed not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. For I have given them thy words. The people that he has saved all over the world, he has given them his words. And some people think, well, you're making such an issue about the words. Well, we're simply doing what God does. He makes a great issue about the words, and he says that he has honored his word above all his name. And so God always, and I could quote many, many verses that talk about the words being perfect and pure. And so we have, of course, Satan on the other side. He is trying to question those words and attack those words and corrupt those words. But the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so it'd be easier for the stars to burn out and the solar system to collapse into nothing than for his words to pass away. And so we have them today in the Authorized King James Bible, or should we call it the King Jesus Bible, because Jesus is glorified in it. But God's word is perfect in everything that it says. And so we have Brother Al Davis as co-host on the program, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he always does a fabulous job and shows about science in the Word of God, and so I give it to him at this time.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and again, just a reminder to our listeners that you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and if you go there, you can find out more about Bruce. You can also listen to some past programs there, and there's a couple of other things that are on there as well. You can even hear Bruce preaching on the history of the Bible and the Baptists there at whereisgodsword.com, as well as links to a variety of the books and things that Bruce mentions from time to time, some great resources there, all at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to share something today that I just find it fascinating when, you know, especially having a biology degree myself, when biology and the things that are being discovered today more and more reinforce the Word of God. And especially when it's things that, from our understanding, would have been impossible for them to know back then when it was written, And it's things that have only been discovered perhaps even within the last 100 years, sometimes in the last 50, last 25 years or less on some of these things. But one thing I find fascinating is that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Now, that doesn't mean all living creatures. That means all human beings, all living human beings. Every human being is descended from Eve. And that goes, of course, and corresponds with what Paul wrote in Acts chapter 17, where he was talking about God on Mars Hill. And in verse 26, he said, talking of God, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth." In other words, all nations, all races as we call them, all types of people, black, white, African, European, Asian, doesn't matter. We're all of one blood, and of course that's a whole other area there. We know that all of our blood is the same. It doesn't matter if you get a blood transfusion from somebody. The only thing that matters is whether you have the right type and whether it's Rh positive or not. And other than that, it doesn't matter whether it comes from somebody who's Asian, European, African, or whatever, because it's all of one blood. But what I was going to say is the fascinating field of genetics, which has just been growing by leaps and bounds, especially in the last 25 years or so, we find that they believe that every single human being on the planet is descended from one woman. Isn't that interesting, Bruce? One woman. And they call her mitochondrial Eve because, see, inside of each one of our cells, we have these little, they call them organelles. Now, these are something completely unknown in Darwin's day. They just thought the cell was a blob of jelly, you know, in a sack with a lump in the middle and for the nucleus. But these mitochondria is kind of like the energy factory of your cell, and it has its own unique DNA. There's DNA that's in the nucleus of the cell, which we normally think of when we talk about what gives us our characteristics, hair color, eye color, etc. But this mitochondrial DNA is unique in that you only inherit it from your mother. It's only carried within the egg that, you know, was fertilized to become us. And so it only comes from our mother. And by sampling our DNA from mitochondria, people all over the world, they come to the conclusion that mitochondrial Eve is the mother of everybody. Something that's even more unique is that recently they've decided that we all come from one woman descended by one or more of three lines. There's three women that they say that these three women were descended from mitochondrial Eve, and that every human being descends from one or more of these women. Now, wouldn't that be amazing if we could find that in the Bible too, Bruce? Well, guess what? Over here in Genesis chapter 10, it says, now in verse 1, this is after the flood. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." Every single human being is a descendant of one or more of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and of course their respective wives. Yeah, Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, and Mrs. Japheth. There's three women that every single man and woman on planet Earth today is descended from, one or more of those three. It's possible, I guess, to be descended from all three of them, you know, with great-grandparents and all that sort of stuff. But those three are descended from one woman. That's amazing enough, and I don't have time to get into it right now. But we're also descended, according to genetics, from one man. Every man on Earth has a Y chromosome, and a Y chromosome only comes from your father. And looking at the Y chromosome, they've determined that everybody's descended from one man. They call him, obviously, Y chromosome Adam. So isn't that amazing? Now, they say that Eve and Adam, mitochondrial Eve and Y chromosome Adam lived, you know, 200,000 or more years ago, but that's based on some wild assumptions on mutation rates in the DNA. Other calculations put them at being about 6,000 to 7,000 years ago, which, what's that sound like? The creation of the earth, according to the King James Bible, was in that time range, right? And so here again, the Bible supports science. Science supports the Bible. True science and the Bible do not conflict.
That's true, and they're just finding out what's in the Bible. That means we can trust the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And they always, in the history books, they always show at the dawn of history, you know, and that goes back to about 3,500 years ago or a little about that time, something like that, and they have all their theories in that. But, you know, if you want to read some interesting stuff, you read in Haley's Bible Handbook about reporters went out there and interviewed Noah, really, and they found this in clay tablets.
Yes.
So it talks all about the flood, and then it actually talks about them going out and talking to Noah, who lived after the flood, and these clay tablets that they found. But that doesn't fit into evolutionary mythology. You know, it's interesting today in the news. They wonder why this stuff is going on, you know, all this shooting going on and murder and craziness and stuff going on. Well, they don't have any time for God. They put them out.
Right.
And they don't have time for the Word of God. And so if you're reading through the Tanakh, the Old Testament, you see that when they rejected God for Baal, then God just allowed the demons to loose on him. I mean, he just left them alone. Okay, you don't want me? Okay, so he left them, and all these enemies came up there and raided them, enslaved them, murdered them, and so on. And it reminds me of what's going on in this country. You don't have any time to pray. You don't have time. You put God out. You don't have any time for his word. Okay, we'll just let the demons loose on you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, because God restricts them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in college, my roommate, man, he had all kinds of guns in his closet. Now, nobody would say anything about it at the time, you know? No, that wasn't a problem at all. And that didn't bother anybody, you know? And people had guns all over the place. But you didn't have all this mass killing and so on going on. But you have it today. And they say, we don't want God. Okay, God says, help yourself, you know. We don't want his word. Okay, help yourself. And so what do you see? In Congress, instead of solving the problems of the United States, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And so they lie about the president. They spend all their time lying against him. And they got absolute madness and confusion going on. And because they don't want God. So God says, okay, have it your way. But, yes.
I was going to add, too, when I was in college in the early 80s, you know, late 70s, early 80s, it wasn't uncommon to see somebody with a hunting rifle in the back of their truck on the college campus. Nobody thought anything of it. And it's like what you said. We've put God out. I was going to add, too, we tell people that they're descended from animals. We're nothing more than animals. And that there's really no right or wrong. So why are we surprised when people start acting like animals and acting like there's no right or wrong?
Well, of course.
There's no God. There's no respect of the Word of God. It's just every imagination of the heart was evil, just like in the days of Noah, huh?
Yeah, you can't. They don't want you to say a prayer. They don't want you to read the Bible or anything. But they can teach. But they can teach atheistic evolution, which is all it is.
Right.
And evolution is a creation myth of atheism, based on emotional panic at the thought of God. That's all, and it's absolute nonsense. People all the time, Christians that are scientists go to college campuses and challenge all these smart aleck professors, you know, to come and debate them, and somehow they just don't show up. And I had a debate, and they put my friend and I had a debate down at Cleveland State University. It was promoted by the science department over evolution. Every time I think about it, it still makes me laugh. And they had four of us against two of four of them against two of us, you know. So we had to debate, you know, and it was really sad, you know. I mean, and I still look back and laugh about it, you know, because they couldn't answer anything. I mean, they just could not answer it. So evolution is just it's absolute nonsense. You know, the Bible says after its kind, and they have what they call the Cambridge explosion, and that is all forms of life just suddenly came out
at once. No precursors at once.
That's in the rocks, too. Mm-hmm.
Complex forms of life.
Yes. And it's amazing. But, you know, our text for today is, Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say?" Now, he says, today we have Christianity and a lot of groups, everybody and their brothers claim to be Christians. We have humanists. They don't even know what Christianity is, and they talk real piously, like, and they'll say that for homosexuality or cross-dressing, but Jesus would be for that, you know. Humanists, or some of them are communists, and almost every kind of a variety of opinion, and they call it, they do it in the name of Jesus. And churches are like that too today. He says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" If Jesus is our Lord and Savior and you claim to follow him, then you must do what he says, do it and believe it and go by it. Now, if you go by what he says, you have to have what he says. And Jesus says in three different gospels, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And we quote this every week, but this is extremely important. And he says, "I've given them the words that thou hast given me." He says, "Thy word is true." And he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In another place it says, "The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth." Now, it's not based on some professor's preference. And I was thinking last week, and sometimes I listen to Moody Station, and I talk about them because they promote this stuff, but they're promoting what much of evangelicalism promotes. And they were saying, the president of Moody, Mr. Job, he said on there, he was quoting a version of the scripture, and it says, in that passage of scripture, he says, "Confess your sins one to another." Well, the authorized Bible coming to us from Christ, and it is based on the text given to us by Christ and translated into English, says, "Confess your faults one to another." Do you think confessing your sins one to another and confessing your faults one to another is the same thing? I'm asking.
No, they're different. I mean, I can make a mistake, and that would be my fault. But it's not necessarily a sinful thing. I sometimes misunderstand something and I don't do it right, and that's a fault. That's not a sin. There's a difference between a sin and a fault. A sin is a violation of God's law.
Now, you know, we have said so many times, he's very concerned about the words. He says the words of the Lord are pure words. They don't have errors in them. Now, you hear sometimes on the radio, this is a better translation is, or they will attack the King James. And I want to go into the background of this. Now, somewhere back about probably anywhere from 80 to 90 years ago, these individuals came into the Greek departments and they started teaching Greek. Now, at the time of D.L. Moody, the same thing was going on in his day as going on today, the correcting the King James and all kinds of translations and whatnot, you know. And so Moody, at that time, Moody set up Moody Bible Institute just using the King James Bible. He's a King James only man. And you know what he said about it? He told this story about a man that said, the preacher asked him for his Bible. And he says, the man said to the preacher, "Well, you have taken out the unauthentic parts and the verses you say shouldn't be there and the words and so on." And he says, you said you've taken all that from me. And he says, "Now you want the remains of the Bible." And he says, "I'm not giving it to you." And he says, these people that are correcting the Bible like that, he says, it's amusing but sad. This is D.L. Moody that said that. But today you have chaos. And I thought it's interesting the way they handle it, because they just refuse to discuss it. I hear on the different programs, they'll have constantly discussions almost over everything, but they don't discuss the fact that they continually put out different Bibles that disagree with each other in thousands of places. Now, we give you books to look at, and one of them you need to get, every Christian needs to get this book, because it explains what goes on in the schools. And they don't want to have people with their tape recorders or anything like that copying what they say. They snuck it in. Why did they have to sneak it? Jesus says in secret, if I said nothing, he did it boldly. They didn't get it in through going to pastors' conferences and then in front of pastors tried to publicly promote their corrupt Bibles and their corrupt versions. They snuck it in to 19-year-old kids that thought that they were going to a school that believed the Bible. And you say, where did this come from? Well, for instance, at Bob Jones University, a lot of fundamentalists went there about 90 years ago and so on. And Bob Jones was promoting Junior, that was. He was promoting the idea that he was a militant fundamentalist, and he's criticizing all those people he didn't consider his friends for not being militant fundamentalists. He just brought some professors down from Princeton University, and although in the chapel he says, use only the King James Bible, privately he was telling those preachers they were mocking people who believe the King James, you know, in the classes, and it came out by many people. Now, at Moody, something similar to this happened years ago where they taught the theories of Westcott and Hort. And by the way, Westcott and Hort, they listened to Moody. They went to hear Moody. It's in their writings. And they just looked their noses down at D.L. Moody. Of course, they couldn't go to a place like Oxford. And after a riot promoted by the professors there, Moody had the mothers pray and they had a revival. And 100 students went to be missionaries. They couldn't do that. Moody had the Holy Spirit behind him. But they had these proud characters were going on like that. Now, somebody snuck in with the theories of Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort, they taught that this Vatican Bible, which was put out by Constantine, at that time, Constantine supposedly became a Christian. The only thing was that he was worshipped as the incarnation of the sun god Baal and was high priest of the pagan religion at that time. And he put out 50 Bibles. And this is widely known by people that study textual history. I call them Baalite Bibles. And the modern versions are based on these Baalite Bibles, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And they'll say that's the oldest and best. Well, they found at Oxyrhynchus and many other places much older that back up the readings of the King James Bible with many, many manuscripts. In fact, over 95% of the ancient manuscripts back up the King James. And so they got in there and they started to promote this. And, you know, here's how they... So the student comes in and he says, this is a Bible-believing school, and he uses the King James. Now, what do? The first thing in the Greek department, they will show him a Greek text, and then they will have a translation of that Greek text. And right next to it, they have the King James Bible. And they don't, they miss telling them that Greek text isn't the same text the King James is based on. So the student sees all these changes in the so-called the Greek text, which is just a corrupt text. And so he says, oh my, the King James may be wrong. He has a doubt in his mind now at this time, see? So then we go a little bit farther, and then he shows the lexicon, and he hasn't told him who wrote the lexicons, and that many of these lexicons, they deliberately change the meanings of the biblical words, and they don't agree with the words of the King James. So now he shows them that. Then they use lexicons that are corrupt, and they use a corrupt Greek text, but they don't tell them what the Greek text is and who put it together. Just a little oversight, isn't it? That the Jesuits that set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation put it out. When I read where in the New American Standard Version that Jesus, it calls Joseph Jesus' father, I thought, I got to get to the back of this, and I got my Greek text New Testament out, and it called Joseph Jesus' father. So I found out where it came from. So then the student doesn't even know where the Greek text, that guy went to Bob Jones, he studied Greek for 4 years, and he didn't even know what Greek text he was using. So they use all these corrupt texts, and each version that comes out is based on a corrupt text with a corrupt lexicon, and they disagree with each other in thousands of places. Now, the Holy Spirit says he will guide you all into all truth. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the Holy Spirit has guided Christians that read the Bible every day to the true Word of God, and 100 of these corrupt Bibles have disappeared despite all the advertising, and they keep right on using the King James Bible, but a lot of young men's faith in the Word of God has been destroyed. Thank God we have it today in the King James Bible.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.